Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. Thanks for making us part of it. We have all the angles in the Tom Brady retirement for you. If you got a thought or a question about old Tommy that you want us to answer at 877-881-1053, the AutoFlex Leasing fan text is open. You got Twitch over there. Jeff's hanging out with you Twolos in the Twitch lounge. So, you know, we look forward to your feedback and your thoughts on these stories. After being vague in the face of reports for 48 hours, Tom Brady announced this morning on Instagram, and now it's official, he is retiring. I am surprised a little bit. I didn't think he'd actually do it. I wanted to see him try to play till 50. You know, he's still really, really good, but I think, you know, life consequences, 22 years old, having to build back up, not knowing how committed Tampa was going to be financially to putting everything back together. They have a lot of key free agents. Apparently it was just time for Tom Brady. But yeah, you know, it's just weird without Tom. Now, beyond that, there are so many interesting talking points. I am very excited about the diluted NFC now. There was already, there was already not a team that was that good. And now you take out Tom. Could the Aaron Rodgers domino fall as well? The Cowboys never beat Tom Brady. Okay, so let's just get that out there. If you met him in the NFC title game, that would be terrifying. And Aaron Rodgers, you know what happened in 14 and 16. You get both those guys out of there. I think it increases your chances that if you make the playoffs, you get to the Super Bowl very significantly. Maybe 20 or 30% more likely if both of those go. And, of course, with Tom out, it goes up as well. So I think that angle is awesome right now for Cowboys fans if you want to localize it in that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you start looking around the NFC, and I heard Mike Bassick talking about this a little bit earlier, but Brady's gone. Who's about to win the NFC South, if you had to guess today? Because isn't the answer, I don't know.
The Saints?
Falcons? Like who? I don't know.
Yeah. Probably Tampa if they bring everybody back, even if it's Fitzpatrick or Winston or something.
Okay, and who's going to win the, if Aaron Rodgers is out of Green Bay, who's winning the North? Kirk Cousins Vikings?
Yeah, Green Bay has massive salary cap issues, right? They would be without pass rushers and maybe Devontae Adams. I'd probably pick the Bears.
Okay, yeah. The Justin Fields Bears?
Yeah. Or the Vikings, yeah.
So, unless you massively disappoint, aren't all of the best teams in the NFC named the West plus Cowboys?
Yeah.
Like, that's
Seattle's got major holes on their roster. I don't know if they can bounce back to true contention. Arizona's got free agents.
Yeah, we said that quite a few.
49ers with a young quarterback who might not know how to win. It might be the Rams. It might be the Cowboys and Rams as you look at next year.
Could it come down to the coaches, the best coaches?
Yeah.
Could it just come down to the best? I mean, that whoever can navigate, you know, having a team that might not be the absolute. I mean, I'm interested to see how the guy at Green Bay coaches without potentially having Aaron Rodgers.
I think he will be a much worse coach.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Just like Belichick became much worse.
I wonder who would be, you know, in the NFC, if all these quarterbacks are gone, is the coaches going to make the difference in this thing, you know, of how this works? You know, we'll see who the best coaches are for sure.
Injuries, coaches, but I think, and we're not the biggest fans of the coaching staff, Brian. I think most people are with us at this point.
Yeah.
But I think the Cowboys might be better enough that maybe they could overcome having a coaching
disadvantage. No, that's what I'm saying. There's these teams that don't have their quarterbacks or the key players are going to have the better coaching. That's going to be their only ticket. With the Cowboys, you got to hope that your roster can lift your coaching staff.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if the whole thing with McCarthy, trust me, I just want the offense to be what it was. You know, I want the offense, and that's the thing that's just so disheartening to me as you looked at that roster from this past year and what happened along the way and how you let it get away from you. See, so that, I mean, do I trust Mike and these guys? Yeah, I trust them to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their roster is going to have to be better because I do think they're going to get out coached in some of these games too.
You know, sometimes you can get out coached and win. I didn't think Doug Peterson was all that great. Who won it at Auburn? Gene Chizik.
Yeah.
You know, like, but sometimes your roster can be so good or you can have such a good player that it doesn't matter. But I hear you, and I hope the Cowboys coaches are at least about average. And if they have a major talent advantage, as I think they should against all but one or two NFC their teams rosters, next year.
Absolutely, their roster. I mean, we'll see. I mean, all these free agency, it probably won't be the same, but at least you'll have your quarterback.
All right, now, next topic for discussion. 972 says, 50? Seriously? Yeah, I wanted to see him try. He's at 44 doing it like this. He was going to be second in MVP voting.
He threw for 5,000 yards last year.
His highest ever.
Yeah.
And his second highest touchdown total ever was at age 44. The only one better than that was 15 years ago with Randy Moss.
Let's not act like this guy probably couldn't have played a couple more years. I mean, that's the thing about it is, I mean, I'm honestly surprised he retired.
Yeah.
Me too.
I am.
Yeah, he didn't get a farewell tour.
Right.
You know, the Kiss My Behind tour one time.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's coming into your town. It's $1,200 tickets.
I do kind of respect that he didn't, you know. I think it's pretty cool to just step out and be like, man, I don't need all that attention and stuff. But
of all people, you would have thought he would have did it.
I would have thought he would have done full Dwayne Wade
and everything.
Bring out the Harley Davidson, man. Yeah. You know, I'm in
the big
Green Bay.
Chair. Yeah.
Let's do this.
Are you guys ready for a fun stat that I've found?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck threw 183 touchdowns in his career, including playoffs. We're letting him count as playoff touchdowns. 183. Tom Brady threw 189 after he turned 40.
Oh, my goodness.
What the hell? You don't get to retire at 44 and still be at your peak in the NFL.
No.
That's stupid.
I wouldn't have doubted him. Yeah. There's times like, oh, you know, Tom, no. Hell no. The guy threw, he still had command of the game.
Do you think he'll regret it, like leaving at this age?
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't think
you've seen enough.
Only if Patty rips off seven in a row and breaks records, Tom will be like, crap, I could have played till I was 50 and nobody would have reached
him. He's going to come back with a 45 jersey.
Yeah.
Him at
age 55?
Yeah, him and Jerry Rice go down as the two all-time greats.
Okay.
In my opinion. I mean, in my opinion, you talk about Tom Brady playing during the salary cap era where your roster turned over 20, 30% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him, Manning, those guys, the guys that play now, you have to admire them. The guys that are winning, because their roster's never the same. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to, like, the Bradshaws, the Staubachs, the Montanas, those guys, they played an era where their roster never turned over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they had, you know, if they had a good team, if Bill Walsh built a great team or Tom Landry built a great team, that team wasn't turning over. You know? That's who you played with for those times. So that's why those guys were great players.
Okay, speaking of the Patriots now, next angle in discussion here on the Tom Brady topic tree. How much brighter is Tom Starr with the Tampa Super Bowl than Belichick's? And do you think Belichick will ever, like, tie him or get the upper hand here?
No. No, I don't. And I think it's massive. I think it's generally true across sports that the quarterback is more important than the coach. The players are the most important. But in a league where teams can be pretty darn close, you're looking for anything to give you an edge. But, yeah, I think that becomes a blowout in the way that I didn't want it to go because I don't like Tom Brady. Although he did do a hell of a thing. He didn't trick me. But Tampa Tom Brady became likable. Like, he became social media funny guy. Like, he even became likable. But, yeah, his star went, wee, and Belichick's went.
Yeah, Belichick's got to win at least one with Mac Jones. And I
see, the thing about it is Belichick's not going to give up.
You know, I mean, Tom, he's going to go till he's 100.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what happens to these coaches. You know, they realize they get to a certain point in time, and when they're done, they die.
Mm.
Joe Paterno, Bear Bryant. You know, you get to a certain age, all of a sudden you're not coaching anymore. Like, what am I going to do?
It's energizing you.
Yeah, it's the one thing keeping you going. And all of a sudden, these coaches, they just and then have these long runs, and it's like they you know, like, whoa, how'd that happen? He was just coaching 2 years ago. What happened?
Yeah.
You know, I think that Belichick's trying to set it up for his son, and I think that's why you're seeing all these New England guys trying to bail out of there right now. Yeah. I think that's the word I'm hearing. But anyway, Belichick's not going to – I don't see him leaving anytime soon. And that's
be just a lot of years for a genius like that to have at his disposal.
Exactly.
To rule it out.
Exactly.
Like right now with Mac Jones, heck, we just saw the Niners get close again with Jimmy. He just needs to get an offensive line and a running game, protect Mac, and let him pick apart the offense or the defense when it becomes preoccupied with stopping the run game. You know Belichick's going to have a top five defense here pretty soon again with some pretty nasty playmakers. And he's incredibly resourceful in picking off, like, cheap free agents and putting them into roles where they can be main players when they didn't work in other spots.
Yeah.
Like that guy that had to leave Detroit midseason, just plug him back in. He's back to balling. And, you know, I think kind of what Dan Quinn did this year for the defense with finding talent and plugging them in, I think that's what Belichick does pretty much every year.
I could see Belichick going until he beats Don Shula's record.
How many's away?
With wins. I was looking that up there. It's one of those things. I'm having Jeff's problems with the computer when it moves really, really slow.
See if I can get this for you here. Okay, I've got Don Shula at 328. Yeah, I've got Bill Belichick at 290. He needs 39 wins to pass him. That's probably 4 years for Belichick.
There you go. I could very well see Belichick hanging in there trying to get that record.
Okay, does Tom have the biggest edge in being a sports GOAT compared to other sports? Can you think of a GOAT in another place that has set the standard higher compared to the others?
No. Well, I guess it depends on how far you want to go with it. Like, sports that people locked into this radio station, the vast majority watch, because I think I'd have to look at the numbers on it, but I feel like maybe Serena Williams, maybe Simone Biles. But when you think football, baseball, basketball, the hard part is you can't even agree on who the guy is. Like, initially, for basketball, I think most people would say Jordan, but if you want the accomplishment of titles, do you say Bill Russell?
Yeah, that's like a little convoluted.
You're debating.
Yeah.
And with Tom, even though I'll be the idiot outlier who's like, he's not the best quarterback I've ever seen, like, it ain't close in terms of that dude was the quarterback. He was one of the best quarterbacks in football, and his team won all the championships. It ain't close.
What about longevity? Can we measure greatness by longevity?
I think so.
Can we say the ones that have Tom Brady playing a quarterback,
not getting hurt and all that,
not getting
kind
hurt
of a Cal Ripken?
Yeah, is that, you know, I remember with
I think
Brett
so,
Favre.
But yeah, I think the longevity is more reflected in your accomplishments, your stats and your postseason wins that comes along with the longevity. I think you get a bonus from that. Just being there, I don't know. It is cool. You were available for all that time.
I mean, but to play at the level that these guys play and gals play at for so many years, do you wonder, I mean, do you say, wow, I mean, they were at the top of their game for 18 years, 19 years, you know?
No, I think that matters. Like, I was thinking about Shaun White, the Olympic snowboarder and skateboarder. And he's getting ready for like his 12th Olympics. I saw him flying out there with like the wrinkles around his eyes and his cheeks and everything.
That's
and I'm
what I'm
like,
saying.
But I think if you're that great, you can compete earlier and hang on later, oftentimes. So I think that goes to Tom Brady's legacy. I mean, it was a couple of years ago that he passed Kenny Stabler and Warren Moon as the only quarterbacks past 40 to be a starter for the whole season and have success. Mm-hmm. Like he has already set that bar by 2 years, and you add all the Super Bowl championships and the regular season touchdowns. I don't know. Like, the trend that he's setting with the nutrition and the flexibility, do you think the next generation of quarterbacks is going to look at end point closer to 42 than 32?
This is where Tom Brady now...
They ain't really doing his diet. Well, they ain't doing that.
Well, this is where Tom Brady pushes nutrition even more now. And this is where Tom Brady, standing in front of his business, you know, as a Fortune 500 company, talking about this. And this is where moms and dads spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their sons involved in these, and maybe even their daughters to a point, you know, if they're athletes and stuff. Let me ask you something real quick, guys. Better ending to a career, Tom Brady the way he went out, or John Elway?
Elway went out a winner.
Riding off into the sunset.
We got the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's the better way.
But didn't he did it at like 35? John Elway wasn't that old.
And I picture him being in his 40s.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, when John Elway, I mean, you think about going out as so in reality, Tom Brady should have walked. Would Tom Brady have the all-time great walk-off
if he did it last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would want to come back and try to do it. I don't think you can beat Elway, and I just looked it up. He was 38.
Yeah.
His career had really ground to a halt. That was not a team led by John Elway, at least with the offense. There's a lot of running game. I don't know. It's very, very close, though. Tom, in the second to last year, still playing at the highest of possible levels.
Yeah.
Elway wins it all, though.
Yeah, if you're throwing for 5,000 yards, aren't you having a pretty good walk-off there?
Yeah.
Yeah, his individual season and performance was really, really, really good, but it doesn't count as being as good as the dude who got to hoist a trophy and then go get drunk.
Huh.
That's winning.
Yeah, I think he'd like that retirement to be on that yacht last year when they threw the trophy in the damn bay.
Remember him as a raging avocado tequila drunk?
There was no mention of Belichick or the Patriots in the retirement statement. Was that intentional? Was that a shot?
Hell yeah, it was. Even when the Patriots put the big thank you letter to him on social, all he did was share it and say, thank you, Patriot Nation.
Oh, the nation.
There was still no Robert Kraft. But I do think I just saw that he's signing like one of the one-day contracts to retire a Patriot.
Sure.
So he's showing some appreciation. But yeah, he's a petty guy. I believe that. I believe that's a petty guy. Hey, we're all petty.
A little bit.
We're all petty. It's just a matter of to what level. And his is high.
I think it says something about Belichick, and I don't know if I like it or I think it's lame, but like to not have more respect for a guy that you'd had so much success with is kind of weird. But we've heard whispers and rumblings from people that have left, Gronk a couple of years ago, Butler a couple of years ago. I think a lot of people have respect for him, but they don't like him very much.
If Tom Brady doesn't do the retirement press conference in New England and in Tampa, like, say, Peyton Manning did, then if he only does it in one place, like in Tampa, and doesn't go to New England, I think then now you start to question what's happening.
For sure. The one-day contract, maybe that clears it up, but the shout-out to Patriot Nation the organization. Why 105 Through the Fan was written up in the New York Post. That's coming up at 5:40. Coming up next, Jeff, what would you like to talk about, sir?
Which teams are set up to do the most damage in the offseason, and where do the Cowboys rank? That's next. But
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation. Segments brought to you by the Can Academy's Cars for Kids. Great people there. And by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333 or go to truckwreck.com. Now, here he is, Jeff.
All right. Hi, it's me. I was donging around on the internet during the show, actually, and I stumbled upon a piece of journalism that I thought was interesting. On ESPN.com, what they did is they ranked teams based on their off-season capital. So the teams who have the biggest opportunity to make a big splash over the course of the off-season, where do the Cowboys rank? And the way this is decided is, how much draft capital do you have and how much salary cap space do you have? And they put them all in order. And it's probably no surprise that number one is the Jacksonville Jaguars because they have the number one overall pick. And they got 60-some-odd million dollars in cap space, and they have a terrible team. So they're going to have to figure all that out. Now, I don't care about them very much. What I care about is the NFC East. And so I scroll, and I say, let's see, who's got an opportunity to get a lot better this offseason? Number four overall behind Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Broncos is the Philadelphia Eagles. Three first-round picks. They have an extra pick in the fifth round after trading Zach Ertz, and the Eagles have over $14 million in cap space, which is not a big number, but you know everybody at the end of the year or before the league year.
Better being 14 under.
Tighten their
over,
belt.
Yeah. Over. Sorry.
Well, you know, and every team before the league year is going to do some finagling, so the Eagles will probably have $30 or $40 million in cap space. They'll have three first-round picks. Are you worried at all about the Eagles?
What's the next article going to come out and say, all these teams with assets, but a horse bleep front office, you know?
Yeah, that's part of it is there's bad front offices. I bet and most of the teams that are going to rank high on this list are going to be bad teams because that's how you have cap space and high picks.
See, that's how it works. If you told me Jacksonville has the most assets, I will also tell you they have the worst general manager in the league.
Right. They have the most off-season assets because like on the team assets, you look around, you go,
yes,
we think our quarterback can be good.
Yeah.
And they have jackasses running the team.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. That's a problem. I would love to have all the assets in the world.
Uh-huh.
But if you told me that, you know, that my guy gets to run it that I want to pick, not Trent Baalke.
Yeah.
I am worried about the Eagles.
Okay. I'm sorry. I took that.
I think they're aggressive and resourceful.
Yeah.
And that Howie Roseman has got something, as much as I hate to admit it.
I mean, they managed to be a playoff team as a team that traded away their starting quarterback. And
they won me a beef sandwich. It's one of the best beef sandwiches I've had in a long time.
Oh, the one from
right
down the thing?
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah.
So the Eagles are in for a fun offseason. Not that you care as a Cowboy fan, but, man, how much fun would the draft show be if we had pick 15, 16, and 19? You can do 15 hours a day just on, all right, what about this three-player combination? What about this three-player combination? And if we know the Eagles, that will not be three players. It'll be one or two or six. Howie Roseman likes to have fun during the draft. He likes to move it around.
You and your mock drafts would be going crazy.
I love a good mock draft. I started doing my mock drafts last night. You can check my YouTube page. Mm. It's never too soon for mock drafts. So, yeah, the Eagles are a playoff team that also has the most wiggle room in the NFC East to get their team better. So, better.
Massive blessing that they did make the playoffs, I feel like.
Yeah.
If they would have had a top five pick along in there.
Was looking bad there for a while.
They had the Miami pick was looking great. Yeah. Their pick was looking great.
They had like 4, 5, 8, something.
Who's the third one? The Colts. For a while there, it was like they had two top fives and a top 10, and instead it's 15, 16, and 19. So thanks, Colts, for almost making the playoffs before you spit the bit worse than anyone's ever spit the bit in the last week of a regular season.
Are you done with all your list on that?
I'm done with the Eagles.
Oh, okay, next team.
What you got?
No, I was going to ask you about the football Giants.
Oh, they'll be on here.
I was going to ask you about
that. The football Giants will be on here.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers have the next most, so maybe your guy Herbie can get some help.
Mm.
They got almost $60 million in cap space, so they've got room to do some things.
Him or Joe?
Joe. But I said this before the postseason run. I said this after his two-game stretch of 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, and I was like, I get it. Herbie's got the high-end tools, but, man, I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow.
General?
Burrow or Herbert?
Yep.
Burrow.
Brian, you love Herbert, but you're an LSU guy. This is hard.
Herbert.
What a hater.
Herbert.
What a hater.
I'm not a hater.
Burrow's about to play Herbert's the Super Bowl with an average team. Herbert's watching.
Stud. Yeah.
Burrow
hasn't made the playoffs yet.
Can I pull you off Burrow at all?
I don't know. Name a quarterback.
But see, if I said Allen to both you guys, you wouldn't change.
Man, that is going to be such a battle for the next 5 years before we sort it out and feel confident about your order.
I think that's the battle. Yeah.
Oh, I think Herbert will be part of it too. Yeah. I think it'll be Mahomes and then.
That'll be a battle. Mahomes and Herbert.
That won't be a battle. It'll be Mahomes and then all these other people.
Man, a lot of confidence in that point. Was it 1.4 that he had as a quarterback rating?
That was a bad second half by our boy Patty.
In a big time situation?
It was a bad second half by our boy Patty. He'll be back.
He's broken.
Herbert never like got to a big game in college. You had all those tools and could run.
Yeah. Herbert wasn't very good in college.
You weren't dominating.
I don't know, Gerald. I watched him in a Rose Bowl game.
Herbert wasn't very good. He had a good game occasionally.
Yeah, he did. I watched him in a Rose Bowl game.
He wasn't super accurate in college.
Why are we saying this like we're really scared?
Do you not believe
it? I'm just telling you that Herbert, they were right to bet on the tools. Herbert's one of those dudes that improved himself. In college, I watched.
Yeah.
He was a big-armed guy that was a good athlete. But man, he'd spray it all over the yard.
Yeah, his stats were just average. He's been all tools, and Burrow's been a winner. Doesn't the it factor mean anything to you, Brian?
Yeah, Brian.
Why do you measure hate the everything?
Guy? He brought you a national title. He brought you a natty.
The way he said that, I couldn't even answer. All right.
He brought you a natty.
Watch me switch this around on you guys. Okay, Burrow, Herbert, Allen, and Joe. Rank them in order.
Herbert. Well, hold on. Who are they again?
Allen.
Give them to me.
Mahomes, Herbert, Allen, Burrow.
Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert.
God, Herbert gets no love.
Mahomes, am I really going to let a postseason run elevate Allen when I don't think he had a great year? Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert.
Herbert's a nerd, man. He really is.
Oh, no.
He is. Yeah, he is. He actually is.
And is that's a negative on the scouting report, like the choppy podium thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. But, you know, I think of in the style of play, like I'm more analytical here and I'm not going to. Allen's out there like, whose head do I got to rip off for this first down? You know, I'm going to go for it. You got to have an element of balls. And I just don't think nerds have, you know, the same kind of balls as studs. He's built like a stud, but he's got the mind of a nerd.
The nerds are winning now, damn it, Gavin.
All right.
We're the kings around here.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
In business.
Appreciate you answering my question.
I'm a nerd. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth Tuesday.
It's a tell the truth Tuesday. Yeah, it sure is. The New York Giants are also in the top 10 of teams in their offseason capital.
There we go.
They have, let me see if I crunch the numbers on this. I believe the Giants, ooh, that is a giant number, 162. The Giants have the most draft capital in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have.
Just because of 5-7?
They have, because of their trade with the Bears last year to let them get Herbert, they have an extra first-round pick. And
Fields.
They have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. So their new GM has a lot to play with there.
Wow.
Their cap space, though, is negative $4.9 million. Hmm. It's not good to have a bad roster and no cap space, if anybody was wondering.
Yeah.
And I know people out there, you were wondering. That's not a good combination. So the Giants are probably not a threat, but they can do a lot of damage in terms of can we add, I mean.
Russell Wilson.
First 3 rounds. Well, yeah, you could do it that way. Or maybe in 6 picks in 3 rounds, you have 4 hits. And you've added maybe a star player and 3 really good cheap players. That's a good way to rebuild it. That's a good way to get it started.
Yeah, so, if you hit on in days 1 and 2, you're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You said 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, including 5 and 7?
Yeah. Washington football team has the 11th most offseason capital.
Dang, our division's right in the middle of this thing.
They got the number 11 overall pick, but they only have 6 picks total. But they also have $37.5 million to spend. So if you wanted to, in theory, you could go sign you a quarterback or trade for Jimmy G, and you've got your draft capital. I just threw out the name Jimmy G. You're looking at me like that's crazy. They don't have a quarterback.
No. You said it at your house the other day.
Jimmy G sounds great to Washington.
You said it the other day at your house, and I nodded in agreement when you said it.
You go Jimmy G for like a 4th-round pick.
There you go.
And then you draft one of these scabs that's in this draft. One of these guys is going to end up being awesome because we're all just like, yeah, not a very good quarterback draft.
I said Corral is going to be the guy.
Corral's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Willis Desmond Ritter is going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
Washington's number 11. I scroll a little bit to find your Dallas Cowboys. They have the 27th most offseason capital.
Stephen Jones extremely happy about that.
because their draft capital is fairly low because they don't have a high pick and they don't have extra picks anywhere, except they may have one extra pick when they announce the comp picks. I think they may get one, like a fourth or a fifth round pick.
They signed too many guys.
And they have minus $17.7 million at the moment.
Yeah.
And if you ever had that in your bank account when you woke up, you would be concerned. Yeah. You would have problems. But they'll fix that. They'll move Dak's money around and all that. But the comment that they say here is Cowboys have a lot of established veterans with high cap numbers, including Amari Cooper, $22 million. DeMarcus Lawrence, $27 million. Could they be on their way out is the write-up. And will the Cowboys need to restructure Dak's deal? Yes.
Yeah.
Which is projected to count $34.5 million in 2022, just a year after he signed it. That's where you get yourself in trouble, by the way. Because $34.5 is less than the average annual value, which means the bigger numbers are already back there, and they're about to send bigger numbers back there. So that'll be joy. That'll be a joy to see when we figure out how that goes. And dead last is the LA Rams. They have negative money and no draft
picks.
Win
that parade.
There you go. Hey, LA.
Win that parade.
Win that game, brother. Yeah.
Wins
you better
that
go win that game.
Yeah.
Because if you don't win that game, it's going to get real weird over there.
Go win that game.
They made a conscious decision, though. Like, if you look at the Cowboys salary cap stuff and you're like, all right, where's their big money? And it's Tank, Coop, Tyron, Dak, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin. And the Rams, I think, in their scenario, they haven't drafted a guy like, say, Lyle Collins. So there's not a guy where it's like, hey, let's give him $12, $13 million a year. So instead, they looked around and went, hey, what if we only traded for the best guys?
Yeah.
And the rest of the league might be scared of some of them.
Yeah.
It's like, what if we just make sure that we have the best defensive tackle in football, the best corner in football, we'll upgrade quarterback. Oh, malcontent Odell Beckham. Done.
Good defensive end.
Von Miller. Yeah. Hey, come on down. Yeah. So that's the decision that they've made. And if they win in a week and a half, it was wonderful decision making. And we'll see what it looks like down the road.
Would you rather be a team with a lot of draft picks or a lot of draft capital?
What? That's the same thing.
A lot of draft picks.
Right.
Yeah. Would you rather have more draft picks?
Or higher draft picks?
Yeah, I'm just saying more draft picks or more cap space.
Oh, cap. Okay.
I can't talk.
I'm a draft guy.
Give me the picks.
Give me like 13 darts to throw, and when I pull seven players out of there, and five of them are starters, and they make nothing, watch me go spend. Watch me get wild.
Your ceiling gets a lot higher that way, Brian.
Your ceiling versus your
that'll
floor.
That'll help it make it sense.
Gotcha.
Okay. Good stuff, though, gentlemen. Really appreciate that conversation right there. When we come back, we're just 24 minutes from Jeffrey time. So if you want some more Heffrey, it's on deck. But coming up next, why 105 Through the Fan was written up in the New York Post. You see this? That's next here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having an outstanding day. We certainly are. Tom Brady's retirement, a big story across sports. Got some Twitter feedback here. I'm at Gavin Dawson. Follow me. JP says Wayne Gretzky has records that will never be beaten. Never.
That's true. That's one of the great expenditures I've ever made on a ticket in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were playing a playoff game against the 49ers out there in San Francisco. And Wayne Gretzky happened to be playing for the Kings. And they were playing the San Jose Sharks. And I spent like $200 on a $15 ticket to go watch Gretzky play in his last season.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'm so glad I got to see Wayne Gretzky play live.
Yeah,
I didn't care. I just didn't even care. You know, it's like when you watch these guys and you're like, oh, man, it was like the neatest thing in the world to watch
a legend.
Guy like that play.
Wayne Gretzky, career points, 2,857.
Yeah.
Second place, Jaromir Jagr, 1,921.
Oh, wow.
So
Yager
second
played
place,
forever.
Yeah, second place is about two-thirds of the way to first place.
I think Yager's playing in, like, Russia or something right now still. He
doesn't want to give it up?
He doesn't want to give up, man. Yager doesn't want to give it up.
Yeah, I think it's a deal where didn't the game of hockey change in a way that it became more difficult? Like, the last full season was, like, the leading goal scorers were in the 40s. And it was a thing in the 90s where the goal was to get to 60. You know, I'm a star player. I'm going to get my 60 goals.
In the 70s, there was a guy, Phil Esposito, that played for the Boston Bruins. And so, like,
10th all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, I think if you got, like, 70 goals, it was like this
icon.
It was crazy, you know, what you were doing. But when Gretzky came along, that team he played with there in Edmonton
it was Glenn, stupid.
Yeah. Glenn Sather put together a heck of a team up there.
Wayne Gretzky has twice the amount of career points as guys that are in like 16th and 17th.
How many assists did he have?
I don't know. I just have it by points right now, Brian. Oh, but he's doubled up guys like Doug Gilmore, Adam Oates, Mike Modano, Brett Hull. He's got them all doubled.
Guys we know.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I think when it comes to Tom Brady's championships
– yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to the other stats, touchdowns and yards and stuff, you could see that. I mean, heck, Drew Brees was very close. But Gretzky had seasons of 92 goals, 71, 87, and 73. That was his four-season stretch in Edmonton where he was at his most dominant. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it sort of cooled off, but he set the bar so high that maybe he is more of an all-time GOAT that's uncatchable than Tom Brady is. Okay, Jerry Jones' radio call-in caused Ed Werder Twitter beef, says the New York Post. Yeah, they're eating it up. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, a regular caller into the team's radio partner, 105.3 The Fan, joined the KNC Masterpiece. They wrote KNC, not the updated KMC Masterpiece. Mm. I think the KNC is still their official name. Mm. We like to troll Corey and Kevin, adding the M in there for Mike. Werder interjected when the impromptu spot was announced, saying other reporters would like to talk to Jones, too. Maybe Jerry should hold a news conference to let all those who cover his team every day ask questions, too, Werder tweeted. Sean Sharif, host of Sean and RJ on the same station.
Oh, no, Sean.
Congratulated his colleagues for a fantastic job, adding, even though bitter know-it-all, Ed Werder doesn't think so.
Oh, Sean.
One of those people you've lauded reported last year that Dak might not ever play again, but okay, Werder responded. Sharif invited Werder to call into the show and tell the guys how you're so much better than the job they did. New York Post, they love that gossip type stuff.
They do. Page six.
Yeah. Good radio beef.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get on for going after Dale Hansen for all those years. Maybe he needed a tweet about us or something in order to make that happen.
Yeah. Hansen not having a big Twitter presence, I think, held you down there in that beef.
Yeah. And
he wasn't on Ellen yet. If he would have been on Ellen, then it would have been on fire. Yeah. You just missed it.
Man, I would have been going after the guy on Ellen who was saying all the right stuff. They might have made me the villain. Shoot, Ellen would have tore me up. I'd be like, no, trust me, I'm in the right. He's abusing me, Ellen. I'm trying to get back at him. But yeah, you know, the basic thing with Dak last year. I mean, by the end of the year, if you were really, really going after Bassick there or in training camp when I said, man, Dak just doesn't look right. I think he's going to have a good season, but this is going to be a factor throughout the year as he tries to overcome a very serious injury. I think Mike at the time put some very low percentages on it. And in the course of it being translated into print or online media, it became like, Mike Bassick predicts Dak will never play again.
Yeah.
When at the time he was doing the segment, like maybe a 10 or 15% chance.
You have to understand Bassick. I told him this before we went on the air.
Yeah.
Because that was when I jumped in and yelled at Werder a little bit. Because it was like, fine. If you're media and you wish Jerry was holding regular press conferences, cool. That's fine. I get it. But when he did that, it was like Mike never reported that Dak was not going to play again. If you listen to the actual words, you would know that Mike knew Dak had a setback and had a second surgery.
He did.
Ed Werder didn't know that.
No, he did.
Nobody did.
Thank you.
Mike got it.
He did.
He reported that.
He sure did.
Everything after that was Mike being Mike, because when you tell Mike he's stupid and he doesn't know what he's talking about, he will get mad at you and he will escalate.
He'll raise all in.
And so his end game was, well, if he doesn't play again, you know? And it's like, that is not a report. That is Mike telling you he had a surgery and things didn't go the way they were supposed to, and everybody telling him he was a liar and an idiot, and Mike gets mad.
Yeah.
And so, yes, he drew an extreme conclusion as a possibility, but his report was Dak had a setback in a second surgery. That was the report. So when you misrepresent what my guy has to say, we got to have a chat.
Yeah, he whooped all the reporters on that one.
No, he absolutely did. You know, and it's funny when...
Tad denied.
Well, yeah, and then I reached back out to my guys with the Cowboys, and they said, yeah, that's true. Hmm. You know, they reached out. So Mike had that well in the advance of anybody. Matter of fact, Mike's reporting the on both his surgeries was spot on. You know, and
impossible,
and so, yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, but that was something that, you know, when I was asking questions of people over there, they were like, yeah, that's true. That's true too. You know, so yeah, Mike's sources and Mike's, you know, reporting and stuff like that, like Jeff described, might be a little crazy, but you know, when you look at the overall, Mike was right about what was going on with Dak Prescott. He was absolutely right.
214 KMC Masterpiece. I think KNC Mikesterpiece is better. LOL.
Oh.
That's a nice play on words as well.
Go.
Gavin, would you say Madonna's the greatest U.S.-born hockey player ever? I assume you're trolling me. I think he was the all-time leading goal scorer when he left. There have been some other really good American players since he retired. I know at the end of his career that was a fact. Is it still a fact? I like to watch hockey when the stars are really good. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's Mike Madonna. Of course he's the best. If it's not him, it's Neil Broughton or Brett Hull. It's definitely a star.
Somebody with their thing hanging in the rafters, some of their jerseys hanging in the rafters.
Maybe Ryan Suter, you know? Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus has records that'll never be broken. If Tiger couldn't beat his major record, then no one will.
Well, Tiger did SEAL training and broke his body, then did other stuff that was not good for you, and then got in a car wreck. Otherwise, he was coming for you.
He could have tracked him down. I mean, to get three short, it was well within reach for Tiger, you know, if it hadn't started to come unraveled right there as he was getting into his 30s and he still had a great shot. You know, but I think 15 to 18 is pretty close. He's within like 15%.
Yeah, I think Jack Nicklaus thought his record was going to be broken.
Yeah.
I really did. You mean, and
you think when the stuff happened with the driveway and the golf club, he was like, yes.
Well, I think that, you mean, to me, you know, they talk about Jack being the all-time great, but Tiger Woods to me is the all-time great.
Golfers. I'm a Walter Hagen guy myself.
Yeah. But I just, to me, when you look at Tiger Woods, unfortunately, his life turned in a way that affected the way he did his job. And for a long time, he was able to hide things. But then it became, you know, it became difficult for him. And then that's where we lost.
Those pesky cell phones got in the way.
This is Tiger. That, the injuries.
Can you delete that thing for me?
Can you take your name off your phone? You know, just have it say a number?
She got a hold of my phone.
The injuries robbed him of greatness. Well, he's already great, but of further greatness.
214, Mike is an idiot, though.
Yeah, see, now if you said that Mike is an idiot, no one would push back.
Nobody.
You just can't lie about what he reported. That's all.
You know, I don't think Mike is an idiot. I think he's around average intelligence. But he is so passionate that it makes him sound like an idiot sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and he's so creative with ways that he wants the local teams to be better. You know, that he comes out with some outside-the-box type of thoughts. But I have tremendous amount of respect for Mike as, a sports fan and as a broadcaster and as an entertainer. You know, Mike's lunacy is oftentimes very entertaining.
But not as a person.
Did I forget that part?
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that tries his hardest to have a relationship with God.
You ain't helping, bro. You're not helping it.
He knows how I feel about him. Me and Mike are good buddies.
It's good. It's cool.
Yeah, but you did pick up on that. I don't think that was a mistake. We got to run. Jeffrey time's coming up next, sir. Where are we headed with that?
Who hasn't had a brawl at that place? It's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.